the unexpected is planned. When I was asked to speak of any of the congregations, the Lord has come to these rooms, expecting unexpected. When responding to the Lord's calling, there's a Hebrew word that is called Ken. It's a Hebrew word. He, na, no. And I like the English to say, in any meaning, here I am. It's not just a statement of physical presence, but it's a declaration of readiness, openness, and total availability to God's calling and plan. To trust God's plan, even when it requires sacrifice and courage, it embodies the posture of faith, surrender, and obedience. Any note takers, don't try and scribble it down, we'll put it up at the end of the service so you'll be able to proper writing and not the scribble. We now introduce the Gideon, the fifth judge. The Gideon's name in Hebrew means hewer, fella, one who cuts down, a warrior. We'll be looking at Gideon's experience this morning as he has an encounter with the angel of the Lord, and we'll see the change in his assessment of himself and his commitment to his people, and the Lord and his response to the challenge of humanity. Gideon's unexpected encounter with the Lord. Gideon was one of the men God chose to lead the people out of bondage and fear into a season of peace. A man who the people would not have expected to be chosen by God, such challenging and responsible job. But God's plan was Gideon. Chapter 6, verse 12. The angel of the Lord came and found Gideon in the wine press underground, hiding from the Midianites, threshing the wheat, which was normally done above ground so the chaff could be blown away. He didn't scold Gideon, but he said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man. The verse 13, Gideon started complaining to the Lord about all the miracles and support given to his forefathers, but now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of the Midianites. And then verse 14, the Lord turned to him, indicating a face-to-face meeting, eyeball to eyeball, and he said, "Go in this might of yours, and you will save Israel in the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And I'd like you to lock into your mind this morning those words, "Have I not sent you?" Gideon perceived he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face, fear and death." Now this is what's called a Christophany, an appearance of the person of the Trinity, Christ. He appeared to Abraham many times, and in Genesis 17:1 declared to Abraham, "I am Almighty God." In Moses' the burning book in Exodus 3:2, the angel of the Lord appears in the burning bush, and in 3:14 he told Moses, "I am who I am. And tell them who asked you, who sent you, I am sent you." And in Judges 2:1-3, the angel of, and notice the I pronoun here, where he's in. The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Moses and said, "I lead you to Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your father. I said, I will never break my covenant with you." But notice the angel of the Lord used that word, "I." Now no angel would use that word. Even the prophet who came said, "The Lord God of Israel said unto you," but here was the definite pronoun that Gideon used said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear, you will not die." In verse 15, Gideon saw himself as the least in his father's house, as the weakest man of the Israelites, but the smallest tribe of Israel, as the tribe of Manasseh. He felt insignificant in the people's and family's eyes. Not a very good appraisal of himself. And many of the men of Scripture felt they were not good enough to do what the Lord wanted to do. Moses is the burning bush. "Lord, I cannot speak," especially to Pharaoh. Joshua, when Joshua was chosen by the Lord to follow Moses in Deuteronomy 31:7, Moses encouraged him, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people and lead them into the land the Lord your God ordered their forefathers." Jeremiah, "Lord, I am but a youth, I cannot speak." The Lord said, "Do not say, 'I am a youth.' You shall go to whom I send you." Jeremiah 1:6-7. Barak, when Deborah called him to go up against the armies of Sisera, he said to her, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go, well, then I'm not going to go." But Deborah went. And in each of these men, including Gideon, God saw them not as they viewed themselves, but their potential to fulfill the calling the Lord has on them. That man with the gifting of leadership, obedience, full of faith and commitment to serve. In verse 16, the Lord said to Gideon, "Surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man." Again, the Lord is emphasizing, "He will be with you." And he was given four signs to bolster his confidence. The first sign was when the meal he prepared for the angel of the Lord, and he placed it on the rock. The angel of the Lord stretched forth his staff, touched the rock, and the food and the rock were consumed by fire that came out of the rock. And Gideon knew that it was the Lord that started him. Now what about our meeting with the Lord? I guess most of us have been called by the Lord or led by the Holy Spirit to serve somewhere, challenge you, or just do something out of our comfort zone. Our response is, "I couldn't do that," or "I'm not good enough to go there or speak to that person." But when God calls you, he sees you in you the potential of a redeemed, capable servant. The Holy Spirit is in you and guiding you. And all he asks of you is to trust him and by faith move that he will be with you. He sees you as you are, justified in the sight of our Heavenly Father through Calvary, washed in the blood of the Lamb, transformed by the Holy Spirit living in us, and empowered by faith in his promise to never leave us nor forsake us. His plan is to use us for his glory, whether we're 10, 20, 50, or 80. The work he has for us is not finished till he says it's fine and calls us home. And his message and encouragement to us at this time, have I not sent you? We may be a church and there's quite a few years among our congregation, but Moses was 80 when he led the people out of Egypt. And Joshua was 80 when he led the people into the promised land. Caleb was 85 when he said to Joshua, "Give me this mountain. I'm as fit as I was when we spied out the land 45 years ago." Peter was late 80 when he was on the island of Patmos and wrote Revelation from the vision he was given. God is not limited by our current position, but by our willingness to do his will. We need to continually view ourselves in the identity of Christ, commissioned in service for him. I don't believe he's ever sacked anyone or decommissioned them, but rather we still have the riches of Christ is with us, working in and through us. Expect the unexpected in service, no matter your age or physical condition. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power to work where? In us." In us. When we did the survey for the pastoral church team, the retired people bracket was amazing one. And to the natural eye, looking at the specs, it seemed like a retirement village, all waiting to be promoted home to glory. But God is looking at us through his redemptive plan and sees the potential each and every one of us still has and can do and is being used. Okay, you may be an orca or have a disability that restricts your movement, but God sees your ability in prayer, encouraging others in conversation, or phone calls, or many other talents that you have in serving the Lord. Our people of all ages here at LVC are incredible in their commitment and willingness to be used in the multiple of ways to his glory. And God is blessing us by bringing all folks into the fellowship with us. He's building his church, there is Lumidale, and his mind, and in his mind, the younger families will come. We just have to be diligent, faithful servants in doing the things he calls us to. We keep saying we need young people and families in our congregation, and that is true. But from where I'm standing, anyone under 60 is a young person. Anyone able to bend down and not need the support to get up is thin enough. And even if you do need a table or a chair to get yourself up, you're still thin enough in service to the Lord, and he will use you. In the old days, we had retread tires for our cars, and in the industry, we called retired wheels. That's R-E-T-Y-R-E-D, wheels. Sure, we had to use wisdom when driving by not going as fast as we would with new tyres, slow down a bit on the turning, and watch and that's what we as retired people from the workforce do. We have slowed down a bit in our movement. Our turning circle is a bit wider and slower, as is our thinking, but we are still able to allow the Lord to use us according to his plan for us. Remember his words in Gideon, "Am I not sent you? When you touch the channel or more." Gideon cried in faith to fulfill God's plan. Gideon was growing in his faith one step at a time. What brought sin into Israel? It was the worship of other gods. So what did God tell Gideon to do first? Repent to the people by getting his father's two cries full, pulling down the altar of Baal and the Asherah pole and burning them. Build an altar to sacrifice to God in their place, sacrifice the second bull, and make that the worship place for the one and only true and living God. And God tells us to deal with the idols in our lives to hold us back when we fall out into the hidden places that we try to pull us back can become war rooms of prayer, worship and praise to the Lord as we walk victoriously and faithfully in God's mission and ministry, growing in sanctification and holiness each step that we take. God does not call us qualified, but he qualifies us all to do his will. Well, we all know the event that happened. Gideon, having his faith filled up on the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He sounded the trumpet call for all the fighting men of Israel, then sent men to summon those in other tribes. So 32,000 arrived in Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. And Gideon was now ready, inspired, far enough to tackle the Midianites, even though they had 135 down to fight with. Gideon was growing into the mighty man of God, but he still needed the assurance that, well, did God really call him? The temple was proclaiming the gospel. The light shining as the message that Jesus is the light of the world. His Jews reigned at the end of his camp, and the Midianites and the Amalekites were fighting themselves. And many thousands of them escaped the maker, so Gideon, all the men from the Manasseh, Naphtali, and Asher, the tracks down the Gilmore. And these were the 31,700 men sent back from the initial attack. It was the second stage of God's plan. The men of Ephraim laid a trap at the headwaters of Jordan River and trapped many more. When Gideon arrived at the waters, the surviving Midianites across the river. In chapter 8, verse 4 says, when Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit, never giving up until God's work is done. In verse 10 to 15, Zebra and Zalmunna were at Karkor with a surviving campus of their army, 15,000 men. 120,000 of them were killed. Gideon and his 300 men attacked and routed the Midianites, the 15,000 of them. Gideon killing the two kings. Notice the different Gideons, the one from whom every sentence was. I don't know that I can do that, of course. So the one who is now leading this man into this victory that the Lord has given to him. Because he's learned by experience to have faith in God's promises and the realization the Lord was with him. There was nothing stopping him from doing what God wanted. And also, there was not one of the 300 men lost in the battle, either in the valley of Jezreel or at Karkor. And in conclusion, expect the unexpected, and sometimes change your plan the daily you walk of the Lord, and you won't be surprised when he asks you to do or go somewhere or speak to someone in mighty men and women of valor and faith. Remember God's word to Gideon and to you. Have I not sent you to pray for, to encourage, bring a word of hope, to support, to help, to comfort, to strengthen, or just be there as company to the person or the people God wants you to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your encouragement that you've challenged to us through the life of Gideon. Help us to always remember that it is you who is sending us to be your servant, and living desperately to that person, that family, that people in need, searching for answers to this world, which is found in your love, grace and mercy, revealed through all. Lead us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit this week, to be your channel of blessing as we walk in faith, knowing you are sending us. May we be those